Corporation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great...
Gorgeous, George.
Here Pretty Blassie, the maker of...
Andre, the Giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a
place. Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
WrestleMania.
You are fucking...
Welcome to the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Laszlo.
And we are back like we never left.
Back again for the very first time.
You know, I was going to do the Jay-Z line.
Don't worry if I write checks, I write rhymes.
No, what was it? Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is D.
D.
R to the E-E.
Move snowflakes by the O-Z.
That's ounces. All right, now we're back.
Snowflakes is cocaine.
Woo! Cocaine's a drug that I don't do.
I've done it.
Okay.
It's a good time. I mean, there's not many humans who don't enjoy it. Anyway.
Hey, man, speaking about humans that do cocaine, Extreme Rules 2012, hailing from the cocaine capital of the Midwest, Chicago.
That's the coke capital of the Midwest?
I don't know. I just made it up, but people wouldn't have fact checked it.
I know Chicago's are big. They're big for hot dogs. They're big for a style of pizza that we don't have. I'm not even sure what's going on there.
You know, deep dish. But well, this is Extreme Rules 2012, April 29th from Allstate Arena in Chicago, the Chicago suburb of Rosemont, Illinois. This is Brock Lesnar's first in-ring match since 2004. The attendance was 14,817. The buy rate was 263,000.
That's big money, bro. I didn't even know that.
They were pushing P. And by P, I mean people into the arena for attendance.
I thought you meant pay-per-views as in P. But that
means
PPV.
Was P. You know, it is what it is. First match tonight, we have Kane versus Randy Orton in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Allows me to give you some background here. Another rivalry had an Extreme Rules between Randy Orton and Kane. In July of 2011, Kane lost a street fight to Randy Orton. The two shook hands afterwards as a sign of respect. In 2012... a newly remasked Kane viewed the handshake as a sign of weakness. Hence, Kane started this feud with Randy Orton and defeated him at WrestleMania 28. Yet, on the April 6th episode of SmackDown, Orton defeated Kane in a no disqualifications match. On the April 10th episode of SmackDown, Kane attacked Randy Orton and his father, Cowboy Bob Orton. On the April 20th episode, 420, blaze it. An episode of SmackDown, a Falls Count Anywhere match between Kane and Randy Orton was scheduled. There was a segment on, the April 20th episode as well, where Randy Orton took Paul Bearer, who was in a wheelchair, and pushed him into a freezer and shut the door and said, "You mess with my dad, mess with your dad." And Kane was like, "A monster has no room for feelings for parents." And Randy Orton was like, "Well, shit.
Yeah.
I just killed your dad for like no reason." But that kind of leads to this match right here. To open the match, Kane drives Randy straight into the corner. Randy lands a few punches, but Kane hits him with a signature uppercut.
The Kane uppercut.
Over and over again, he sends him over and up over the ropes. Kane pulls out a lead pipe from under the ring. Now, this was...
he never got to use it.
He didn't, no. Orton got to use it for a little bit, but this is actually the same lead pipe that Kane had used on both Cowboy Bob and Randy Orton in that attack I mentioned on that April 10th episode.
There's history there. Okay.
Randy Orton takes his pipe from him, and for just a short time, he gets a little bit of revenge. However, both these guys brawl to ringside, and then they start to brawl throughout
the crowd.
Allstate Arena, is super hype. They were shit over it.
Nobody was out of it, smacking his back, like, "Yeah, do it. You know what I mean?
But he followed up, but Kane was like, "What's up?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, you're right. Booker T was doing great on commentary, but Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole, were just, like, this match, they really sucked. They're doing everything except calling the action in the ring, basically. They fight backstage. They kind of bounce each other off the storage units a little bit. Randy throws Kane into the backstage area. Then Zack Ryder attacks Kane.
Comes out of nowhere. Yeah, that was his only appearance.
I'll give you the story behind this. Zack Ryder was in a wheelchair from getting tombstone on the stage by Kane.
Whoa.
And then what Kane did is he had him in the wheelchair and he rolled him off the side of the stage.
Good.
Onto the cement. So he attacked him. Randy hits his Argentine backbreaker. Randy unloads on some chair shots in the ring. Does that draping DDT from the announce table to the floor. Superplex to Kane. And as Booker T says, he just dropped that boy.
He just dropped that boy.
Yeah, I like that. Choke slam for two. Tombstone's reversed. RKO on the chair for the win. Sir, what says you on this match?
This is my wrestling. This is my kind of wrestling. A freaking drop kick on the concrete. Not everybody could do that, bro. I mean, like, and it showed why Randy Orton is one of the greats. I hate to admit it. He is a professional. He's an athlete. And I like weapons in a match. I like Randy may have earned himself a spot on my Mount Rushmore.
Ooh.
Cena will always be there. But Ray, I'm still working it out. Four bells.
I give it four bells as well.
This was a good match. This was really good.
Next we have the Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay with his Funkadactyls, Cameron Naomi, and his Funkasaurus Rex, the little hornswoggle.
The little fella.
They put
a little jumpsuit on him.
Yeah, he looks like a baby pimp.
Yeah, he did.
He's cute. A midget. Against Dolph Ziggler, this isn't a title match. This is just a match. Swagger distracts Brodus, and Dolph drop kicks him up the top rope. It was kind of a shoddy drop kick, but it worked.
Yeah.
Running shoulder tackle from Swagger to take down Clay on ringside. What do you think about the presentation of Brodus Clay? Obviously, you knew him mainly from his work on Fox News.
Yeah, I've seen clips of him on YouTube. A right winger, conservative sword, smart guy. But I don't the whole Funkasaurus thing. I don't know. It doesn't work. But seeing Naomi up there shaking what her mama gave her is enjoyable. Mm. That was probably my favorite part of the match, even though it was a good match. And I'm not a Ziggler fan, but the dude's a pro.
Yeah,
and he's polished. And he's still wrestling. This was almost a decade ago.
Damn,
10 years ago.
Brutus runs wild. He's showered with some booze. He hits a headbutt and a midair to a midair Ziggler, and then hits a splash for the win. I gave it 2.5.
That's what I get. I don't do halves. I gave it a 3. It was enjoyable. It held my attention the whole time.
Thank you. Heard it here first. Laz does not do halves, only holes. Next match, we have the Big Show versus Cody Rhodes. It's a table match for the Intercontinental Championship. A little bit of background here. On April 23rd, a rematch for the Intercontinental Championship was scheduled between the defending champion Big Show, or the Bitch Show, or as you would like to say,
Skylar Hopkins,
versus Cody Rhodes. Big Show had won the title from Rhodes at WrestleMania 28 after being constantly reminded that Big Show has no WrestleMania moments besides him getting his ass kicked.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. A huge chop and then a big back body drop from Big Show. Cody hits a disaster kick off the table in the corner, which I thought was great. Like, it's a lot of faith in that table.
Yeah.
There was no way it was a gimmick. I don't think it was gimmicked. Maybe it wasn't. It doesn't matter. Cody dropkicks the Big Show on the apron, and the Big Show hits, steps off the apron through the table. Cody won.
Yeah, because the first one to go through the table loses.
Now, who's the bad guy in this story?
It's got to be Big Show.
Big Show's actually the good guy here, so that's interesting. Cody wins clean. Cody doesn't cheat. Cody wins.
Right.
Smart, wise, use of wisdom here.
He knocks him out of the ring, and he lands 1 foot, and he's such a big guy. If he steps
through the table.
He steps right through it.
Smart, right?
Yeah.
Well, Cody gets chokeslammed through the table and the military pressed out of the ring through a table because the Big Show's a bitch.
And angry.
Out of this.
Temper tantrum.
Cody looks like the good guy. Can't throw a tantrum.
Was this a heel turn?
Big Show's had so many heel turns. I really can't tell you if it was or not. He's had so many. And by so many, I mean he's had upwards of 40 heel turns. I mean, he's dying.
Okay.
I give it 3.
Oh, you did. That was generous. Look, man, he's sloppy, Big Show.
Sloppy jalopy.
He is. He's almost as handsome as Skylar Hopkins. But having said that, no athletic ability. He can walk and I guess move his arms around and stuff, and he could slap you in the chest. Excuse me, a coronavirus. I would have given this one.
One.
Because it was so unsatisfying and unfulfilling to see him go through the table, and he actually lost like that, and then came in and got his revenge or whatever.
His comeuppance.
Cody Rhodes. That guy, if it weren't for him, he actually made Big Show look good in this match. Because Big Show looked terrible the entire time. Jeez, I should think about this, but I should maybe drink some water before we start recording.
No, it's okay. You just do you.
Two bells. This would have gotten one for me. But I gave it two because Cody Rhodes was very impressive in this with the selling and actually taking bumps from a guy who could kill you accidentally.
Now, you've seen Cody Rhodes currently. You've seen him in his current run. We watched the WrestleMania 30.
With the big tattoo on his neck.
Which, by the way, if you haven't already listened to our WrestleMania episode, go ahead and do that.
And what are you doing?
You should drop this one, go listen to that one, come back, and then you'll be like, you know everything. Compared to Cody then and Cody now, what do you see the progression?
I do.
Besides the neck tat?
I do. I see, but I liked him
tonight. Here.
Yeah.
What do you think about Cody's theme, which I'm currently going to play just for everyone to hear?
Control. Do it all to get them off their feet. Crowd is here, about to blow. Waiting for me to start the show. Out the curtain, light go up, I'm home. Whoa. And my father said nothing.
So, you prefer this 2012, Cody?
I do.
Okay.
Real clean performer, very polished. Clearly, I didn't know who he was. I wouldn't have known him. I could have passed him on the street in 2012. I wouldn't have known who he was. He's a star.
Yeah,
he's a huge star. And apparently, he comes from
a royal family.
He's a lineage.
Yeah,
his family was right.
His father is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. His brother is Gold Dust.
Gold Dust.
Yep.
Gold Dust.
Yeah.
I love him. He's so great. Oh my God. It's like a representation. Anyway.
He has like three kids.
I can get into a condom and give it to my wife too. That's my wife. You know. Anyway. yeah, two bells. This match was kind of sad. If it was Cody Rhodes versus somebody who could actually go. I don't want to say every time, but yo, that's a five bell match.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes versus Dolph Ziggler, did they ever match? Did they ever have a match? They have. Okay, that's I'd like to revisit that. I don't know if we've ever watched that.
I'll find it. For you, anything.
For me, anything?
Yeah.
Well, got like $100?
No. Next match, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. This is 2 out of 3 falls for the World Heavyweight Championship. A little bit of background here. At the Royal Rumble of January 29th, Royal Rumble, Sheamus won the Royal Rumble to earn an opportunity to face either CM Punk or Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. He ended up choosing Daniel Bryan, and he defeated Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds to win that championship at WrestleMania. So on the April 10th SmackDown, Bryan invoked his rematch clause at Extreme Rules, and he chose 2 out of 3 falls in order to prevent Sheamus from securing a quick victory.
A quick submission.
So, you know, this is more psychology leading into a match.
Okay.
To a match that I think is very psychology heavy.
Psychologically driven.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
And so to kind of break down the match here, Bryan runs his combo. He gets, well, he's in the cloverleaf. He runs into his combo. He dives the outside, but gets hit with a forearm from Sheamus there. Shane's tossed in the barricade, which was a cool spot we talked about where he runs to he jumps off the apron to kind of like, I guess, crossbody in a weird way, Sheamus. Sheamus catches him, like a barrel,
catches him in the air
and just throws his ass in the barricade. It's pretty slow and methodical pace for the most part from Daniel Bryan. He's using a lot of joint manipulation.
He's a submission specialist, man.
He does which is always a nice spot where you take the two split the fingers with the V, and he bends one way, bends one the other. It's the old magician trick where you're bending your hand rather than, I can't really do it, but yeah, it's like I don't know, the people listening can't hear, but you take your thumb and you grab your hand.
Put your thumb in your palm.
Yeah, and while your thumb's in your palm, you make it look like you're bending it back by tilting your hand forward more. So you can do that with you do that with the fingers, and then you know it looks like he's ripping his fingers apart and breaking them.
It's just a sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand, exactly. Sheamus Power is out. Both guys are like changing shots and like changing chops and clubs and kicks back and forth. And this is like one of my favorite segments in the match because it goes back to the psychology behind it all. And for those that don't know, I'm going to do a little flex here. I'm in college for psychology, so I'm always learning about psychological things, you know, my boy? So I had to flex for a minute.
I saw that.
Yeah, what did you think about it?
Cringe AF.
Shit. So Daniel starts kicking Sheamus' arm because he uses the LaBelle lock, and the LaBelle lock is an arm-based submission, so he starts kicking his arm, and he's kicking the shit out of his arm.
Yeah.
And Sheamus grabs the rope, and Daniel Bryan gets disqualified, but he knows he's weakened his arm up. So when he puts him in the LaBelle lock, you guys are both on even playing field here.
And he gave him the first fall.
Yeah. So right at this point, Sheamus 1, Bryan 0. Daniel immediately hits a corner dropkick and locks in the LaBelle lock. This is like amazing psychology here, not just because, okay, yeah, you've worn out the arm the entire match, but also because Sheamus doesn't tap out. Sheamus passes out from the exhaustion of getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
And now he's been choked. So a lot of the times people look at a choke, like when someone passes out in a match, like, people have passed out in the sharpshooter before. It's not, sometimes you don't have to pass out because you're being choked. You can pass out from exhaustion. So he passes out. Bryan gets the submission. It's 1-1. And there's this moment where Sheamus in the corner, and he's looking like he's coming back too. And they're like, hey, can you continue? And Daniel Bryan's in the other corner just doing the yes chance, just being a dick.
Yeah.
Because he's got him where he wants him. So he runs towards Sheamus, and Sheamus hits this wild bro kick out of the corner for a close two. So Sheamus starts taking these kicks to the back, and this is more psychology that I love because Daniel's going to kick Sheamus in the arm, but Sheamus is sacrificing his back to remove – taking those kicks off of his arm.
To block his arm.
A brief hesitation, and Sheamus does the flinch, and Bryan kicks him in the head instead. Which is like, once again, psychology.
Psychology, yeah, for sure.
Bryan misses the diving headbutt. He misses the corner drop kick, and then Sheamus hits his comeback. And then there's a bro kick for the win. I have to say, Sheamus looked like a freaking hoss, and Bryan looked like the king of psychology. WWE needs more matches like this. They need more of this. I give it 5 bells.
You gave this 5 bells?
Yes. Damn. This, to this day, is one of my favorite wrestling matches of all time, bar none.
It was great. It was great. I gave it 4. There was nothing disappointing about it. Let me just say, I am not jealous of Sheamus' appearance as far as his skin color and that hair.
Ugh. He's
ginger. Like,
oh yeah,
hard. But what a physique on that guy. I mean, seriously, 6'2"?
6'2", 6'3". I followed his Celtic Warrior workouts. He's a workout page.
Nice.
He works out with other wrestlers and like, you know, AJ, how do you build your biceps? Or like Edge, what's your workout? Because Edge has his own personal gym in his garage.
Of course he does. It's probably better than mine.
No, it's the thing is, it doesn't look like a pomp and circumstance. Okay. Like, it's probably half the size of this room, maybe.
Okay.
But it's just really, it's really a nice gym. But he'll work out with all these other wrestlers, and like, he works out with Sasha Banks. He says, Sasha, what's your workout? Like, what do you do? So he works out with her.
Does he have an English, an Irish accent?
Yeah. Sasha, what do you?
So Sasha, what do you do?
What do you do?
Top of the morning today. Everybody liking charms.
But he works out with Sasha, and his whole thing is, no matter man, woman, child, whatever, a workout's a workout. You can learn from anybody.
Facts. Yeah, facts.
So, you know, he works out with Charlotte. Does Charlotte's legs work out? He does Oscar's.
Charlotte works out her legs.
Yeah, she also, never mind. But that being said, he's built like
the proverbial brick poop house.
Yes.
From at a glance, you see Daniel Bryan next to Sheamus, and you're like, ha, yeah, right. That's it. That's some acting. If you think that Sheamus could beat that guy up, that Daniel Bryan could beat up Sheamus. Daniel Bryan's a badass, apparently. He knows his submissions. He can strike. One of the tougher guys, like the kind of guys that you see in movies get punched and then just turn and look at you and laugh. That's Daniel Bryan. That's it. Like, he's like one of those guys, like, uh-oh, I'm about to get stomped half to death. This is
Daniel Bryan's the type of guy that's probably read the Bruce Lee Be Like Water book 8 times.
Really?
Be like water, my friend.
Be like, well, you could flow or you could crash. Be like water. You know, you pour it into a jug, it takes the form of the jug. You pour it into a cup, it takes the form of a cup. Be water.
Man. I was, my friend, I was sitting on fish boat, and I was so upset. Because I was in class and I was getting, this is a true story, by the way. I was fighting and I would get thrown around and I had so much aggression. So I sat there and I hit the water with my hand. And I saw I could not hold water in my hand, but it moved with me. And though it looked so, you could just go through it, it had structure to it. Be like,
Be like water.
That was from his book. His
flow, it could crash.
I read his book. I'm not gonna lie, I read his book. I watched like Enter the Dragon. And I was like, I need to know more.
So I read his book. Another thing about water. Tidal waves coming, like a tidal wave that blocks out the sun. I'm not sure I'd even run. I don't think I'd even be scared. I think I'd just be like a dumbfounded dipshit, just standing there like, oh boy, what's there? Here it comes.
I think I would just be like, I'm gonna die right now.
I would
accept death.
Would you run? From a tidal wave?
Is there a point? It's blocked out the sun.
Right, and that's what a tidal wave does.
I suppose what I would do is I would like try to get underneath something.
Okay. Or behind something.
I mean, like if I get underneath something or behind something, I would think that it would lessen the impact of the water just crashing on me. Water crashed on me by anything like between us, I'm getting crushed.
Yeah.
And it's like when you jump out of a plane and you land in the ocean. If you land feet first, you have a chance, right?
Yeah,
but they say that the higher you are, it's like landing on concrete, so it doesn't really matter.
You go splat on the surface. That's why I love Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. You can jump out of a plane and land in the water. It's awesome. I love that game.
This match,
4 bells.
Man. 5 and, for me.
Yeah, that's like
it's one I'll rewatch maybe later tonight.
It's one I'd rewatch too. I'd rewatch
Cocoa Butter. Next, we have Ryback, which is 2 jobbers. Then Ryback, the one of the jobbers says, hey, we have a math equation for you. 2 is better than 1. 2 is better than 1. He says it 13 times or something like that. Ryback comes out. He eats their ass. And they die. And he wins. And Ryback's still a bitch. I gave it 1.
2. Only because like it gave a spotlight to local talent.
Mm.
Are either of those guys?
Nope.
No. Okay. They probably like changed tires at Sam's Club or something. Nah, it doesn't. We do like, dude. That's a good job. I'm not saying it, but like, it's not wrestling.
And that quote, I just want to let you guys know because we hate Ryback here. Ryback says, and I quote, at Vince McMahon, like most promoters, has an insatiable urge to have control. He had no control watching his mother get beat up as a child, which is a horrendous thing for a kid to witness. As their whore mother tries to make ends meet, Vince has failed to evolve. F you, old man.
I don't care about...
Keep in mind, Vince's mom passed away just last year at the age of 101.
My mother died at 101. Sounds like a story, but it's not. It's true.
So Ryback
is a bitch. I'm sorry, man. Why would he say... I follow him on TikTok. He posts hilarious stuff. He really does.
Too bad he's a classic barnyard baby back bitch. And to that, I say the official award for the shittiest wrestler of the night will go back to Ryback. Suck my balls.
So from that, from what you're saying is from here on out, our Ryback of the night would mean the worst rapper, worst wrestler of the night. You know what I like? I like it.
And you know,
it's good stuff.
We're gonna start naming these awards after who we believe is in high regard of them. So the worst is always going to be the Ryback Award. And I would like to speak with you, which is me and you right here, man to man, imano imano, chico e chico, e home e home. I would like to say the best.
No, I want a more analogy.
Like, I don't have any more.
Okay. Dog to dog.
What?
Cat to cat?
Meow. I'd like to say the best wrestler of the night award will be the official Kurt Angle Award.
You know me, I was going to say New Jack, but like, he's a literal
garbage. We could do the New Jack OMG moment of the night. Does that make you feel better?
He's a literal garbage can wrestler.
The New Jack Award will be the spot of the night.
The New Jack Award will be like that biggest dive. You know, like the highest dive, you know what I mean? Or like the most risky thing, like where that guy could have died.
The OMG moment of the night, the what the F moment of the night, the WTF moment of the night, the New Jack moment. The New Jack moment.
Award. That's that, you know what, I like it.
The Nia Jax Award. Yeah, she botches everything.
But we gotta remember.
World. And I'm a man who loves to play with boys.
Me too, Kurt. Right. the Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
All right, but let's get to the next match of the night here. CM Punk, Chris Jericho.
Oh, I gave Ryback versus the two jobbers whose names I forgot too.
Go on. We'll be right back with the CM Punk Jericho match in Chicago Street Fight. Now, that was a nice ad.
That was a great ad.
Big, thick ad.
I'm fully hard.
Whoa. All right. CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Chicago Street Fight for the WWE Championship. A little bit of background here. On the January 2nd Raw, Chris Jericho made his return.
That's my birthday!
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Birthday. He made it clear he wanted to reclaim his title as the best wrestler in the world, which CM Punk had claimed to be since 2011. Punk would defeat Jericho at WrestleMania 28. In the weeks following this event, Jericho attacked Punk several times, once pouring a bottle of Jack Daniels over him. The pointed insult to him being straight edge.
But straight edge isn't just like a guy like me who's sober. Straight edge is someone who's like, we don't drink, so we're going to beat you up.
Yeah. And he made a pointed statement to Punk saying he was going to lead him down the path of alcoholism, just like his father. And he also said, okay, I'm sorry, I won't talk about your father anymore. What about your sister who was in prison last week? So he's coming out. On the April 6th.
That explains a shit ton.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the April 16th episode of Raw, however, Jericho challenged Punk to a Chicago Street Fight Extreme Rules, which we are watching now.
Now, what makes it the Chicago Street Fight?
It's in Chicago.
That's that. Yeah, you know. I know the street fight is like the weapons, and like we can go outside of the ring and falls count anywhere. That's what street fight is. This is just happens in Chicago, which is whose hometown?
CM Punk.
Okay, so a Chicago-made Punk, which no one really knows what it means, but it
Charles
matter.
Manson made Punk. Charles Manson. Hey, dude, what's up? I'm a fucking gypsy. I am everything and nothing at the same time. Woo-hoo! I just listened to the last podcast on the episode, Charles Manson.
The last podcast on the left episode.
Four-parter. Wow. Woohoo, dig it.
he's dead now.
Thank God.
Is he a murderer?
Not personally. He didn't grab a knife, but he was.
Do you get charged with murder or do you get charged with conspiracy?
Accessory to?
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy. Okay, and that's as bad.
But I think conspiracy, you get the same.
Conspiracy to traffic.
I think conspiracy to murder is the same charge as murder, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hockey fighting leading to ringside. Punk grabs a chair and a kendo stick and lays in some shots. He goes and hugs the referee. And when Punk goes over there, he gets poked in the eye. Yeah. And this kind of takes Punk out of the match for a little bit. So he kind of takes him and rams him into the barricade. And the timekeeper, Punk's sister, slaps the shit out of Jericho. And then Punk, he goes over there to, like, hit his sister. And then Punk's like, attacks
not on my watch, bitch.
He body slams him through the announce table cover. He goes for the pile driver, but his back body dropped on the ringside. Then Jericho gets the beer out and pours some beer on Punk again.
Is that what the, that's what I forget?
He grabs another, probably some shitty Chicago IPA. Punk gains control again with a kendo stick and hits his comeback. It is a top rope elbow from Punk, a bulldog from Jericho. Both men have this double down moment. Punk uses the fire extinguisher on Jericho to break up the walls. Jericho, Punk hits an elbow drop out of the ring onto Jericho on the announce table.
Fucking great.
Anaconda Vice is broken up with a kendo stick to Punk. Codebreaker to Punk with the chair assist for two. And then GTS go to sleep for the three and to retain his WWE Championship. A match I gave 4.5.
What? I give it 5, son. That dive, forget about it. I don't like CM Punk. And here's one thing. We talk a lot about it. We don't include it in the podcast. About actual tough guys.
Yes.
About legit. I would square up with CM Punk tonight. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not afraid. I would
square up with Punk before I'd probably square up with Jericho.
Same.
Jericho's dad was a hockey player.
Jericho is a Golden Gloves champ.
His dad's Canadian. Also a hockey player. I'm not messing with a hockey player.
But CM Punk.
Did you know Jericho wasn't born in Canada? He was born in Manhasset, New York.
Manhasset, yeah. New York. Okay. I did not know that.
Dad played for the Flyers, I think. Or no, played for the Rangers.
New York Rangers?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. That's my team.
Yeah, boo.
That's it. Yo. CM Punk had 3 MMA matches, got absolutely tooled in each and every one of them.
Do you like Tool?
I love the band
Tool. I don't like Tool.
You don't like Tool?
No, I don't. Sorry.
It's a darker. I've always said Tool is Marilyn Manson for intellectuals. Because while Marilyn Manson is just looking at me with my zombie makeup,
the beautiful people.
Well, Portrait of an American Family is easily in my top 5 of that kind of music. I love that album.
You know what his best, greatest hit for Marilyn Manson was? When he hit that one girl and then molested her.
That's he is a total. We have to separate the art from the artist.
You're right. I agree. I still play Michael Jackson music, even though he didn't do it.
Dude, play Don't Stop Till You Get It. Put that on. See if the party doesn't start moving.
I'm just saying he didn't do it, but we all know that.
Those cases keep getting thrown out, bro.
You know, you only throw out cases when 9 times out of 10 they're incorrect, except for Casey Anthony, who definitely killed her daughter.
Killed her daughter. Okay, here's a little thing about me. I still have my Facebook. It's active and everything. People, I don't celebrate my birthday. I'm not better than anyone who does. I'm probably worse than everyone who does.
Pretty much, I agree.
But what I do is when I find someone who my friends list has a birthday and people are saying birthday to them, happy birthday, I'll find an embarrassing celebrity with whom you share a birthday.
Except you didn't do that for me.
I was taking a sabbatical from Facebook.
You know who shares a birthday with me? Usher, and he has herpes. Let it burn. You could do something like that, but now you can't.
That's what I do. I find an embarrassing celebrity with whom you share a birthday, and I'll write like a paragraph long homage to that person. They're usually dead. And then I say, oh, yeah. And Adrian, by the way, happy birthday. I didn't do that this year. I share a happy birthday with Casey Anthony, with a friend of mine. And the kid messaged me, said, hey, that's funny, but the wife doesn't appreciate it. Could you take that down for me? I don't want to.
And then you reposted it.
No, I did not. I obeyed his wishes, and I went and I deleted it. But wow, Marilyn Manson, Tool's better than Marilyn Manson. Tool talks about really dark subject matter that you have to pay attention to get the meaning of. Marilyn Manson just says disgusting, horrible things, and look, for shock value, he is a shock.
Which basically, I would say, for go back to the crime conversation here, of course. Marilyn Manson's your Casey Anthony, dumber than a box of rocks and very surface level. Meanwhile, Tool is Dirty Arias.
Yes.
There's levels to her.
There is, absolutely. She starts doing yoga when she's in there.
And not just the pictures you've seen, there's other levels to her.
Right.
Right.
It's like doing yoga in the interrogation room. Like, what's all that?
Singing a Silent Night in the middle of July. Go on and watch the psychological videos about her.
They're hours on YouTube.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
And I
am. That girl with the glasses, who does that? What was her channel?
The Asian. Oh, no. I don't know her. I'm talking about the other Asian girl who killed her parents.
Oh,
that's, you know what, guys? We need feedback. If you want us to sit down for an hour and talk about this stuff, let us know.
Let us know.
Because I could easily do it.
I would love to talk about true crime. I mean, we could. That'd be great. Anyway.
Next match. Nikki Bella versus Layla Divas Championship. Background here, Nikki Bella defeated Beth Phoenix to capture the Stevens Championship. Phoenix was slated to receive a rematch for the title at Extreme Rules, but was not medically cleared to compete due to a storyline sprained left ankle, and was replaced by Layla. This was Layla's first WWE appearance since May 13th of 2011, so almost a year, on a SmackDown. Layla had been injured, injured her knee that previous year and was subsequently attacked by
Karma.
Brie interferes in this match. Nikki assaults that knee that was injured, looking to build some moment with some strikes here, momentum, I appear, until Layla takes her down with a crossbody. Layla counters the twin magic and hits a neckbreaker for the win, and she is your new Divas Champion. I gave it two bells.
I gave it three. This was one of the better female matches, not the best, not the worst. Occasionally I curse, get my point across. But this was a good match. I don't remember seeing Layla before. What a doll face. What a pretty woman. For real. Oh,
what a teenage dream.
What a teenage dirtbag I am.
I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby.
Name that artist.
Weedus.
Oh, good for you, man. There was before you were born.
Yeah, it was in the Jason Big movie.
Loser.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie, but the song.
With Mina Savari and Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, where she's dating the professor.
Yes.
I like Jason Big, and I like that song. I just didn't like that movie. Mina Savari never stuck out to me as anything special.
She's kind of got a little gremlin thing happening. Yeah, but a great Dave Spade cameo in that movie right after Chris Farley died. Who?
Natasha
Henstridge. Natasha Bedingfield?
No. Russian Doll. She was in what's her name? Russian Doll, she's in Orange and New Black.
Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah, Natasha Lyonne. She's great. She has AIDS though, or something like that. So
I love her.
She has hepatitis or something, so she's
untouchable.
Yeah, but he touched her. Fred Armisen did, so but he's had it probably since he was 13. She did crack and everything.
No, get out of here.
Yeah, she was bad, but I heard her Russian Doll show is really great. So I might need to check it out.
I heard she tells a joke on the Jay Leno, the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. About you put your hand out and she and that voice, she should do voiceovers for
They asked her, they said, hey, so how do you talk? And she said, I do this rhyming thing where it's I'm rhyming grimy, everything just rhymes together, that's how I speak. And they're what are you talking about? And she's if I go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom, bathroom, get the bathroom. And everybody's why you say that? It's just a New York thing I do. And they're okay. Yeah, she said, Subway, who's gay? What? And they're okay.
I'm telling you, she's funny. And
she has charm.
A feminist, I hear?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Aren't they all now?
No.
Final match of the night. Our main event. Bork Laser versus John Cena here.
Why are you calling him that?
It was a sign in the crowd.
It was.
Extreme Rules match. A little bit of background here. On April 2nd, Raw, John Cena spoke about his loss.
That's the
Raw.
Day after April Fool's.
It is.
Go.
Spoke about his loss at WrestleMania 28, which was dubbed a once-in-a-lifetime match and the most important battle of Cena's career. Cena asked The Rock to come out so Cena could offer his congratulations. Instead, Brock Lesnar came into the ring, making his first WWE appearance since 2004. Lesnar offered the shaking of the hand, Cena, but he was hit with a F5, dropping Cena onto the mat. The next week,
he got punched in his mouth a bunch. Was that not?
We're getting there. John Laurinaitis revealed he had signed a Lesnar to a legitimacy. That's stupid ass. To bring legitimacy and for Lesnar to become the new face of the WWE. Lesnar also was scheduled to face Cena at Extreme Rules on April 16th. The match was made in Extreme Rules match. Before this, there was a brawl, a breakup, which Cena had his mouth busted wide open, and which
punched in the mouth.
He looked at Lesnar and smiled, "What's up, bitch? We doing this?" And they do it. Cena rushes Brock and is immediately busted open the hard way.
Yeah.
Cena gets back up. He's taken down with a few. He takes down Brock for a minute, hits a few strikes, and then Brock gets back up. And Cena gets his shit rocked and gets pushed out of the ring.
This was Cena getting beaten up for 25 minutes, bro.
Yeah, Cena gets hit with two Germans. There's another little flurry again. He throws some bows on Brock, but then Brock knocks the referee over. Brock chains Cena's legs and hangs him from the turnbuckle and beats his ass.
Yeah, but like with his own chain.
Yeah.
Disrespect
until bro. He drops him, and then Brock lifts up Charles Robinson from his pants and puts him in the ring.
That the strength on that man, dude. That's a scary son of a gun.
F5 takes down the ref. Cena kicks out at two, so Brock snaps and attacks the new referee.
Yeah.
Brock brings in the steps. He locks in the Kimura, but John Cena drops Brock on the steps. Cena's like outside the ring because he got his ass tossed out again. Cena. Lesnar runs off the steps for a clothesline and flips over the top rope. And I'm like, botch, question mark? What the hell happens? He goes for round two on this. Cena, if you see, like, Cena's laying there, he takes that chain and, like, wraps around his hand and, like, tucks it down. And he's like, oh, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
And when Lesnar pops up, he hits that bitch in the face with the chains. He does.
Yeah. He gets his comeuppance.
Big and then he goes in there and hits him with the attitude adjustment on the steps for the win in a match. I gave five.
Five.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Hall this, fame. What a fucking great match, bro. Pardon my language. Jesus Christ. This was a great match. The blood immediately. Now, this is something that shocked me. I thought that people blading each other. It was like John Stossel reported on that and then got bitch slapped backstage for his efforts.
Rightfully so.
John Stossel, he's that kind of reporter. He's the get in your face with these facts kind of reporter. Was featured on the Dark Side of the Ring episode. Great poly top three. Good best episode.
Make sure you check that one out.
That was great. Listen, to see blood dripping out of a guy's head like that. Brock Lesnar licked it.
And Bob Jones, yeah.
That was another man's blood, dude.
That's disgusting.
What are you doing? That's gross. But anyway, just further cements John Cena as one of my Mount Rushmore. He's got to be one of my top four. That kid is strong, bro. Yeah, he picked up Brock Lesnar for an attitude adjustment, like you said, and Lesnar wiggled out of it, you know, because Brock can do that.
I think he can like squat like 1,000 pounds.
Cena?
Yeah.
Cena's the kid's strong, bro.
Real power lifter, bro.
Yeah, and of course, like the physique, like people saw that and immediately went and called their steroid dealer. I'm sorry, but like the veins on this.
It's crazy that Cena is not a steroid guy either. It is insane. Like he's
natural.
He's natural.
And then he takes testosterone somehow. He does something. He's got to do something. Like you know,
disciplined life.
I guess. You know,
you with can live a disciplined life.
The omega acids and the fish oils and shit that you have to take.
He's a protein shake. Disciplined type of guy.
He's probably wake up in the middle of the night, drink a protein shake kind of guy, go back to sleep kind of guy. Like, seriously, that dude is so strong. I forget who said it. And I heard third hand, you know, out of the third mouth that, like, someone said, like, getting picked up by him, it feels, like, so mad. It feels like you're on top of a bowl.
Yeah.
The dude gets strong. This was a match for the ages. This was great, bro.
And that is the Hall of Fame. I'm excited. It's a good Hall of Fame entry right there. I think it's well-deserving. Definitely important. You ready to get into the awards?
Let's do it, man.
All right, so our Kurt Angle Award for the best wrestler of the night goes to...
John Cena.
Daniel Bryan.
Well, okay. All right.
Psychology winner for me.
Then again, there was the CM Punk.
CM Punk really got it. I would have even gave it to Sheamus. Sheamus was fantastic.
Probably the best match I've ever seen.
Sold well.
Sheamus in.
Yeah.
I have his Boston Scally hat.
Yeah, and now, funny thing, Facebook heard him say Boston Scally hat, and I'm getting nothing but ads for
Are
Boston.
You serious?
Yeah, it's so disgusting.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
Your Ryback of the night. Your Ryback award for the worst bitch of the night goes to
Ryback.
The two jobbers that Ryback killed. But I can just give them all a. They're going to all just have a nice little threesome with the award.
Let them have a little
Bastards.
Three-way.
Award. Match of the night.
It's got to be Lesnar Cena. Okay. Lesnar Cena. It's got
to
be.
I'm giving it to Brian Sheamus.
That was a good match.
Well, those were my two fives for the night. So I did completely.
It's understandable. Yeah.
Your worst match of the night, I'm going to go Ryback Jobbers.
Ryback versus the Jobbers, and Ryback out there. Look, he looks like a million bucks, except for his, like, monkey-sized head
and his tiny little penis.
Right.
Try to keep your New Jack spot of the night.
But New Jack's out was CM Punk jumping off the top ropes on
the CM Punk elbow drop out of the ring. That was amazing.
And look, the risk that these guys put their bodies at, to put their bodies into, even these gals, even the Bellas, who she gave some
you
girl.
You can look, but you can't touch.
Who would want to touch? But didn't she give a girl a roundhouse concussion?
Yeah, she kicked Liv Morgan in the head and knocked her out.
There you go. Like, literally knocked her out clean.
It happens.
Idiot. Nah, it shouldn't. It's wrestling.
It shouldn't, but it does. The Nia Jax, oh my whole moment of the night. I'm going with Brock Lesnar just like eating ass out of the ring. I don't know if it was a botch. He was overexcited. But either way, his thighs clapped when he hit the ground. So like, that's the closest thing to a botch I remember happening. Besides Ryback getting booked.
Or the two jobbers getting booked. But at least they got the... Hey, they were on a pay-per-view. WWE pay-per-view.
Can't knock the hustle.
That's dope. I mean, like, I'd be like people could run their mouths, but like, hey, I have a video on TikTok that has almost 1 million views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but it doesn't matter. Like, yo, they were on a
pay-per-view. I mean, yeah, mine's 19.8. But
and like over 1 million likes.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's only 48,000 followers. Stop.
I'll stop. I've got 2,200.
Okay, cool.
So,
what's your final rating for the show?
This was, I do this mathematically.
Mathematically?
I give it a 3.3.
Okay, I give it a 4.5.
For the whole show?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. I can't even, I'm a little bit simp bitch for the show. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. Something I can always go back and watch.
Okay. There were matches I could pull out that and watch. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No.
But there were matches I could rewatch, but I couldn't sit through the whole show again, especially with the little show, aka Skylar Hopkins.
And then the Rye Bitch match.
Oh, God. Dude, why let them even in the ring if they're just going to get slammed and eaten alive by Ryback?
Enhancement.
I guess. And Ryback is a monster.
You should buy a Ryback shirt, actually.
I don't think I will.
Well.
Oh, right. I think I'm going to have to go on eBay tonight and see if I can find me a Ryback shirt.
Yeah, hopefully.
Here's I don't know if I talked. Have I talked about this in other podcasts?
No, again.
What I do. Look, every wrestler shirt that I've bought.
Wait. Let's not tell them. And when it happens, we'll go back to this moment. And we'll tell them.
Okay. So I'm going to buy me a Ryback shirt tonight.
Every 6 months, we'll see what happens.
In the next 6 months. I don't remember when I bought the Undertaker shirt. We'll see. But that's the
Have you worn it yet?
I have. I have it on. And someone said, dude, that's a wicked shirt on TikTok.
That's a wicked shirt, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, bro, it's wicked.
But I will say, I was watching the Rock documentary, yeah. The Rock show.
Young Rock.
The Young Rock show. And the stuff about... The Undertaker gave me goosebumps. It was great. He came and he had the hat and they did the bong when he walked in. And I'll never forget what the man said. Hey, and then he said, go get him, kid. You know, like it gave me goosebumps. I can't lie. So he seems like a good dude. And like all the other wrestlers respected his ass.
Yeah.
And there was a tale of him wrapping his hand up because he didn't want to break it on Shawn Michaels' face because Shawn Michaels was
worried about Shawn doing the job.
Shawn did the job. Okay, so what's the story there?
So what had happened? It was WrestleMania 14, and it was supposed to be the passing of the torch for the title, and they were worried about Shawn doing the job, see if he was gonna be a little bitch and run out.
And he didn't want to, but he ended up doing it.
He ended up doing it because he knew the trouble. Okay. Or Undertaker whooped his ass.
That's why he did.
Yeah. Undertaker was like, if he screws this, I'll walk out there and wrestle me. I'll kick his ass.
And he was like getting ready.
Yeah, he grabbed his hand. And he goes, all right, Shawn, you did the right thing.
I don't respect the guy as a wrestler. I do respect him as a human, though, as a man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get in his way. He's 6'10".
He'd eat that ass.
He could pick me up. He could choke slam me.
Oh, I'd let him.
I wouldn't let him. I would be fighting all. I would have to bite and eye gouge and stuff because he's a big kid.
Just kick him the ball as hard as a game guy. And his cortisone knees.
There you go.
Well, folks, this has been the No Disqualifications podcast. And I tell you what, we're probably going to start a true crime podcast as well. So you can just go ahead and ride that wave into glory as well because it's going to happen.
It's coming.
It's going to happen.
It's the tidal wave that we spoke about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The big black water that blocks out the sun.
and drowns Asian women in California. This has been the No Disqualifications Podcast.
He's Adrian.
And he's Laszlo. Make sure you follow us and leave us 5 stars on iTunes because we need it. We need the support. We need your love. And you can thank us later for giving you your sweet fix because you guys are addicted and we gave you your fix. So you're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Make sure you listen to the Wrestling Purist Podcast. I will be on an episode this Sunday. We'll be covering Judgment Day 2004. And make sure you go and follow NGW Pro Wrestling and check out their event. It's actually going to be May 29th. It's going to be the... I blanked. But I'll tell you what, there's no ring, no rules. So check that shizzle out. Once again, he's Laszlo.
He's Adrian.
Chica-chica. Woo-hoo!